This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Thursday, Rickies. We are the Junks, the company live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, 910 The Fan if you're listening in Richmond, Virginia, and Monumental Sports Network on the TV side. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. I'm Cakes. At Money Metal Cakes is where you find me on the Twitter, at Cakes Flops, on my seldomly used Instagram. I'm joined by Jason Bishop.
What's up, Cakes? Happy Thursday, buddy.
Happy Thursday to you, sir. John Paul Flame is also here.
What's up, Cakes?
Hello. Good morning to you. And Eric Bickle rounds out your Junks foursome.
I can't believe. I just still can't believe how cold it is. And it's supposed to be warmer today. Right?
It's
I just
October,
can't believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's
17.
We're smack dab in the middle of
how
fall.
How can you
my
not
friend.
Believe it?
It's happened pretty quickly. Yeah. In my opinion, it's happened pretty quickly.
It's going to get warmer.
Now, I think today.
Have you
it's
seen all the
warmer.
Leaves falling? Yeah. It's fall.
Yeah.
It's going to get warmer.
Welcome to autumn. Here we are.
I mean, really use the term autumn.
I mean, I usually use fall, but I've been using autumn in my Lindsay spot, okay. So it's in my brain.
I mean, it's like a sophisticated term. I'm not even quite sure when it is. I guess it's now.
Same as fall. It's like using supper instead of dinner.
right.
I mean, I guess it's kind of the
equivalent.
That's a country thing.
In the country,
supper?
Well, certainly in my family in Ohio, they would say supper. What's for supper?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had this conversation with a friend, too. Where I grew up in the summer, you know, when I would go visit in the summer and everything, they would refer to soda as pop.
Well, that's a very mm-hmm. Midwestern thing.
Yeah, it's Midwestern thing. Yeah. And then someone told me they grew up. Another friend of mine, she grew up also in Ohio, and they called everything Coke, even Sprite.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a regional thing.
That was a new one for me. So they just called everything Coke. I'll have a Coke. Whatever you got.
Now I'm not up at the latest. Kid lingo.
Yeah.
It's too hard to keep up with these days. Yeah. But I know as of, I think, 3, 6, or 9 months ago, my daughter told me that if you wanted to describe something as hurting, you would just call it Ohio.
Really? Just like making fun of Ohio?
If you just wanted to disparage something, you'd be like, that's so Ohio.
Wow, that's a new one
just
for me.
Just talking down on the allegedly great state of Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
I have a lot of, you know, family from Ohio. Yeah. But it's hard to argue.
I don't know.
So you're perturbed by the cold weather.
Just the cold in the morning and the coldness in my house. Well, I haven't called crop.
Well, it was cold yesterday and it was windy.
It wasn't that bad. It's just that when I get in my house, and I get used to it because like I was playing and I was walking and I was moving. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as windy as like the previous days.
It was pretty windy at my house.
Inside, it just, we haven't turned the heat on yet.
Nope.
I got the one upstairs not working.
Wait, Jason, all of a sudden, you know, you're a miser, you're not turning the heat on?
No, it just seemed weird because I know today I think it's supposed to warm up.
Ah.
I didn't turn the heat on last night. Did you have the heat on last night?
I don't even know. My wife does the thermostat.
She handles it.
Yeah. I just know. I go up to the thermostat.
It's cold.
If the thermostat says anything other than 71 or 72... I just get my wife on. Like the other day, I walked by it, and I was uncomfortable, and it said 75, and I was like, "Can you just take care of this?
That's too much.
This is your purview. This is your area of expertise,
right?
And you, I mean, I see Draft scoffing at me. Maybe that's unmanly of me to just.
I've never heard of
Is it too complicated for you?
It's digital.
He's not allowed to touch the thermostat.
It's not that I'm not allowed.
He could do whatever he wants.
I don't like doing the thermostat. She's just better at it than I am.
It's a tech thing. I think he's a little tech-phobic.
I'm not usually a technophobe, but with the thermostat, I kind of am.
Like this one, you don't really ever mess with this one either. This one sometimes can be tricky.
Again, it's just if it's too hot, I let Drab know. It's
but not his department.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
Listen, most things aren't my thing.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their things. Everybody's got their lanes.
But the thermostat is my thing.
Thermostat is not my thing.
One of the guys I play golf with yesterday, he's a tinkerer.
Okay.
He's an engineer. Retired engineer.
I am not a tinkerer.
Neither am I.
Yeah, I'm the furthest from it.
And so what he did, get a kick out of this, Valdez. He got those new Autoflex. He's an older guy. He got the Autoflex shaft, right? But he wanted to add, it's like a super whippy shaft.
Yeah.
Mostly it's kind of like a senior shaft. But he wanted to make it a little longer, and he knows how to do it. So he added an inch to each. Everybody would love that inch.
That's every man's dream.
Yeah.
And by the second hole, it's rattling. And I say, you know just enough to F everything up.
Sure.
And he agreed completely. Right. So that's why sometimes it's better to not be good at stuff.
Yeah, just not good at it.
Just let someone else do it.
Sure.
Anyway.
So if I go home today, it's like 68, I guess... I'm always home before my wife. Like, if it's really bad, I'll take care of it myself. But if my wife is around, she'll get dispatched to take care of it.
This has been a glorious week for sleep because you crack that window and your bedroom gets all nice and chilly.
Yeah.
And you lay there
under
the covers.
I don't do that because my allergies would kill me. They're already trying to kill me.
I think it's too cold for us.
No, it's perfect.
For me, it would be too cold.
I had it cracked 2 nights ago, but I had to close it yesterday. It was just too cold.
It's a little too cold.
Oh, I love it.
When my dog is shivering, you know it's too cold.
Do you have... See, I don't have carpet up there. Like, no carpet in that cold floor. It's just...
Oh, I love it.
Nasty.
Go to bed in, like, sweats and a t-shirt, and you wrap yourself up in blankets like a burrito.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is a good feeling.
There's a funny...
You don't want to leave the bed.
There's a funny, like, reel that got, like, a million views or whatever, and it... perfectly encapsulates how I get in the bed with my wife. I don't know if you've seen it before. The guy gets it, the bed, like you go to a hotel, you know how it's all snug, like the Navy or something.
Sure.
And the guy goes in
there. Be careful, your drink has no cap on it.
He goes, he kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks until all the sheets are untucked. That's me.
Yeah.
I have to have everything loose.
Sure.
And it tilts D to no end.
That is like, it's like the third thing I do when I go to the hotel room at MGM National Harbor. The first thing I do, that is where I do the thermostat. I walk in, the first thing I do is I crank the thermostat down to like 65 or 66 because I want it to be like a morgue when I come back into the room. That's the first thing I do. The second thing I do is I make a redneck cooler out of one of the sinks. I just dump a bunch of ice into the sink, put my waters, beers, any other drinks I brought
on ice.
That's a routine. Then the third
thing they have a little fridge?
Yeah, they do, but it's all filled with all of their, minibar items.
You have to take
like
those
out. MGM,
it's like $9 for a soda.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to pay.
And if you move it,
if you open it and move it,
they charge you.
Yeah, you get charged. So I think you
have a minute or so.
Yeah, you have like 30 seconds to go rearrange things in the fridge. I don't even mess with it. I have my own system. That's the second thing I do. The third thing I do is I go over to the bed and I rip the sheets off because they're tucked in.
They're too tight.
So tightly.
So tight. But what ends up happening is it's just a big mangled mess for me.
Sure.
Especially with my wife on one side. She likes to be neat and organized. Mm-hmm. I got them all kicked around everywhere.
All askew.
Feet sticking out. You know, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay warm.
Well, it'll be warmer this weekend. You'll be fine.
What is it going to be today? What is the high today?
I think in the 60s.
That's awesome.
It does make me laugh. He's got a computer right in front of him.
Well, he just knows.
Yeah, I know he knows.
I wouldn't ask him if he didn't already know.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to even Google
You missed the Hunter supermoon last night.
I did see the supermoon.
What is that? Never even heard of
big ass moon.
Did you notice how bright and how big it was?
I never look at the moon.
That's impossible.
You never look at the moon.
That's a lie.
Or gander
He's
up
lying.
The stars when you go outside.
I don't gaze.
You've
at
never
him.
Seen the moon.
I've seen it before.
Okay, so you looked at it.
I don't look at it as a matter of routine.
You've heard about it. You said,
yeah. I don't look at it. I get in my car and drive, and I get out of my car and go in the house.
You do. You just don't notice that you look. It doesn't like.
No, I'm sure it like lights up the sky and stuff, but I don't look at it.
Once in a blue moon.
You do, you just don't think about it. You don't comprehend it.
No, I don't really look up at the stars.
All right, the stars are a little different. They're like this big. I mean, the moon is like freaking huge.
He does kind of shuffle around with his head kind of facing his feet at all times.
I'm not a guy who stands up looking up. I'm not really that in awe of nature.
Oh. Anyway, the Hunter super moon is out. And it's,
so what does that mean?
It's just a big-ass moon, big bright moon. I don't know why it's brighter now.
Hunter gets credit for it?
Well, it's because it's hunting season, so they call it Hunter super moon.
Yeah. Oh. I was unaware.
And there were
called
the northern lights earlier this week?
That was last week.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah,
I didn't understand that one either.
Everybody was sending pictures of like the purple sky and everything, and I was like, what is going on? I saw them,
but I don't understand quite what the northern lights are, what they
mean. Neither do I. First I'd ever heard of it, I thought it was like a stadium or something.
Northwest Stadium, yeah, Northern Lights Stadium.
What's everybody talking about Northern Lights? I don't know. I will say, being someone that's not particularly in awe of nature.
Yeah, you're definitely not in tune with nature.
It is kind of nice when you see the different colors on the trees. It does.
You love foliage.
Pretty. I don't love it, but it's nicer than just plain green.
It's pretty.
Yeah. Now, the leaves are annoying.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, it takes forever to hunt for your ball. But, yeah, I like the different colors.
Okay.
Somebody told me yesterday, do you know why, Jason? You're the closest thing to, like, a nature lover here. Mm-hmm. Do you know why isolated trees?
Nature lover.
Do you know why? You do. Yeah. You have a green thumb. Do you know why isolated trees turn colors? This is the engineer also told me this yesterday.
Okay. You're playing golf with Roger?
Yeah.
Who knew?
He's not, well, I can't say. So isolated trees turn colors before like groups of trees.
I don't know why. You're asking us why that happens? I wouldn't have any
clue. Did you ever notice that that's a phenomenon?
Nope.
Sometimes you'll see a group of trees.
I have idea.
They might still be green, but you see an isolated tree and all of a sudden it's like red.
How do you notice this but not the moon?
Okay. Okay, here's the thing.
Right.
Because it's my target line on number three or four. I can't remember which one. Four.
Yeah, I don't know.
And number five. And it just sticks out. And I said, I didn't realize that tree had red leaves. Why does that tree have red leaves but none of the other ones did?
Okay.
And he told me, when it's isolated, this is where I start to lose a little bit.
Yeah.
It gets all the heat to them. It gives off the heat or gets all the heat by itself. But when they're in a group.
The cluster of trees.
Cluster of trees, it doesn't.
So it's not a wind thing?
Okay.
No. It has something to do with the heat that it emanates from it or something.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yes. I wouldn't know. Wouldn't have guessed that.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Hey,
we got to talk about the biggest story, non-sports story from last night. It was Liam Payne.
Was eating dinner. It sounded like
I don't know if it was suicide.
There was a call that went into police that said a guy was acting erratically on the balcony. And then by the time police showed up to investigate, he had fallen into the courtyard and passed away.
Yeah, so I guess they're still investigating.
Suspicious to me.
Sounded like they thought he was under the influence of either drugs and or alcohol.
Right, which probably made him just take the big leap.
One of the witnesses said that he was definitely under the influence.
It was from the third floor. Yeah. It wasn't like from the 15th floor.
But they said it was 45 feet. Did you ever go to one of their concerts? Because I know your daughters were huge fans.
M&T Bank.
That's a big room.
And they were late because they were flying in from Houston. They were late. They were like an hour and a half late.
Right.
Now, One Direction, not together anymore, right? Broken off.
Longest night of my life. But my daughters were very sad. They're big 1D fans.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for the guy.
He's like 31 years old.
31, got a 7-year-old kid.
Mm. It just seems suspicious. Like, even I know you're, like, say you're high as a kite, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To fall off about, what are you doing? Climbing on the balcony? Like,
yeah.
You're taking a picture like JP on the edge of the balcony? Like, what are you doing?
I think it was
the old leaper.
At my most hammered,
yeah.
If I were on a third floor balcony, I easily could fall off of it. Like, you just don't know what you're doing.
So it's your vibe.
A dozen beers.
Your vibe is he jumped.
My vibe is suicide. Yeah. That's amazing.
I mean, I guess it's
possible.
Of course,
I know nothing, but I just don't understand how you fall off the balcony.
Or if you're just. So what under
was he
the
like, walking on it or something like
it could be blackout and just like tumble over the railing or something.
Stumbles.
It could be many reasons.
I guess I'm so scared of balconies that could never happen.
I know, but if he's so blackout, he has no inhibitions or anything.
Like he just doesn't know what he's doing.
His fear triggers turned off.
Yeah.
And we have no idea how high the railing is or the wall.
I mean, I think the last high balcony I was on was when Valdez and I were chopping a room in Myrtle Beach for a junk strip like 15 years ago. And that was pretty high. Mm. We were on like the 9th or 10th floor, and there's nothing but concrete jungle down below.
You would have went splat.
Oh, you would have splatted so hard.
Hmm. Well, I mean, the photos appear to be legitimate of drugs all over the hotel room, the TV smashed.
Yeah, so he's out of his mind.
He was with his girlfriend.
Well, she left.
She left a couple days.
She left 2 days.
Oh, she wasn't in the room.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking. He was depressed.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, there's all kinds of videos of him acting bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And TMZ, they posted videos of him laying on the ground. I mean, like parts of his body.
Oh, really? Identity.
I mean, it was like 10 minutes after it happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that they didn't post it.
They crop photos of his body.
Yeah.
So you could tell it was him.
Yeah, they showed like his arm with this tattoo so he could be identified.
I guess there's some taste. At least they didn't show the splat.
I would probably take a gander.
Oh, I would want to see that.
I would.
You want to see the watermelon splat?
No, I don't need to see the whole thing, but I would probably, if the picture is available, I'm probably taking a look.
You like to be scarred by those things?
No, I don't know. It's just a morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
I can't quite explain it.
Regardless, whatever 31. Happened, it's tragic. It's always horrible. And yeah, I mean, 31, you got a 7-year-old.
There are reports that it was over him wanting, I think, he was upset at the staff of the hotel room, right? He's high on drugs and he's intoxicated.
Uh-huh. He's smashing
the room. And he tried to jump into the pool was one report.
Oh,
well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that actually makes sense. So I take it back. High off his thing, and he wants to jump into the pool. I've had that urge. I've had that urge. I wonder if I can make it.
And they told him he couldn't go in the pool because he was drunk.
Right.
He was out of
so
his
he
mind.
Was going to jump in the pool from the balcony.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense. I take it back. That makes sense.
Can you imagine if you're on vacation and that happened? You got to like cut your vacation short.
It's awful.
I just can't imagine any of it.
Yeah. Sad story.
That's terrible. Oh my God, it's terrible.
Yep, it's not great. That was.
I don't know how you pivot from that.
Yeah, it's tough awful. One.
I mean, it was a huge story.
Can I ask you a question?
It was the lead story on the national news.
Yeah, I mean, they're super, super
it was a massive story.
But I do have a question because I'm a little bit of a boy band guy. But my wheelhouse is NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, a little bit of New Kids. I'm not a One Direction guy. Was he the silly or was he like the nubs? Was he like the Donnie Wahlberg?
Harry was the
Harry.
Clear star.
I have no idea who was the star of One Direction.
You didn't know Harry was the star of One Direction?
I kind of assumed they were all very good singers.
Harry and Niall were the big dogs.
Harry and Niall are the top dogs.
Niall.
So is he like a guy who could barely sing or he just had a lower voice? He didn't get the melodies.
Who are we talking about? Liam? He just wasn't, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he wasn't like at the forefront. You know what I mean?
He was a background guy. He was a Lance Bass.
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of.
All right.
Joey Fatone. Well, what's the guy? His name starts with a Z. Wasn't he a big silly in that band, too?
Oh, Zayn. Zayn. Malik. Malik, yeah.
That's who I thought it was.
He's the one who left the band first.
Yeah. So then
it was down to four.
Wasn't one of the members here a couple years ago?
Niall. Yeah, I took a picture
with
him.
Niall.
Jason
stayed
around for 17 hours.
Yeah.
The longest Jason hung around after work.
But the only reason I did it is because my daughters, freaked out.
And,
I know. I'm a huge Niall
Iggy
fan.
Azalea.
Iggy Azalea.
No, I'm a big Iggy fan.
That one he wanted to see.
I would have stayed around
to
for
OnlyFans. Yeah. To see her.
I would have stayed around for days for her.
But he has to pay for the OnlyFans. He'd rather see her free.
I was hoping she'd go to Homewood with me. Hey, want to come pick my car up?
We got a lot to get to on a Thursday. Bill Roth's going to join us, voice of the Hokies. He's coming up at 6:45 as Virginia Tech gets ready to take on Boston College. Heading to the game tonight, correct?
Correct.
Leaving right after Blacksburg, work. Dodging a million tractor trailers.
Oh,
I'm sure
not looking forward
fun.
To that.
Brian Baldinger joins us at 7:20 to talk NFL. Daryl Green, Washington legend, is joining us in studio 7:45, so you definitely don't want to miss that. Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals at 8:25, and Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. She will round out the show at 9:45. So lots going on the Junks on an Open Line Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Dive into the Junk Sports page before Bill Roth joins us to talk Virginia Tech Hokies. They take on Boston College tonight down in Blacksburg. Jason Bishop will be in attendance.
Yeah, it's an orange out.
Ah, very good.
So everyone's going to be wearing orange at Lane Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just noticed you got your gear on.
Hopefully they'll play better than last time I was at their game at Lane when they lost to Rutgers. All right, so you've got an NFL game tonight.
Yep, correct.
So get your lineups in.
It's that quarterback matchup everybody was dreaming about at the beginning of the season. Spencer Rattler for the Saints taking on Bo Nix of the Denver Broncos.
Yep. Hey, first round mock loves Spencer Rattler.
He does love him. That is true.
Denver in NOLA. Denver lays 3. The total is 37.5.
Ooh, that's a low total.
Yeah, Denver's 3-3. The Saints are 2-4. As you mentioned, Rattler will be starting again for the Saints. And, of course, Bo Nix for Denver. Get your lineups in.
I kind of feel bad for Rattler. I mean, he's making his second start, and he's down Chris Olave.
Olave's not going to be there.
And he's also down Rashid Shaheed, mm-hmm. who's getting a meniscus repair.
Yep. Wow. So he's got nothing.
Well, he's going in with, you know, like, he's going to throw the ball to, I guess, Alvin Kamara a bunch and Juwan Johnson at tight end. But
is Taysom out?
Taysom is.
He's got the rib
he's
issue.
He's dicey.
Yeah, I think he's questionable. He might not play.
He might even be listed as doubtful.
I feel Wasn't it predictable that the Saints, who started off 2-0,
yeah.
and after 2 weeks were the most prolific offense,
mm-hmm.
wasn't it predictable that they were going to flail and fail with Dennis Allen as their head coach, and they were going to end up this year in the dregs?
I thought they might take a step back. They weren't going to score like 40-plus points each week like they did in weeks 1 and 2, but I didn't expect the wheels to come off to mm-hmm. this extent.
Well, what I would guess is, if we went through all of our preseason predictions, mm-hmm. none of us had the Saints in the playoffs.
Pretty sure, no.
Yeah.
And Dennis Allen just seems like one of those guys who's going to go down as good coordinator, mm-hmm. not a good head coach.
They've got a bunch of guys hurt because their right guard, Cesar Ruiz, I believe he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Left guard, Luke Patrick, I believe he's out. You mentioned the receivers, Olave and Shaheed, both out. Bub Means and Mason Tipton will be they might be the starting receivers.
Means actually had a good game last weekend.
Yeah, so he might be someone you insert if you're grasping for a third receiver.
Good.
And it's crazy that Denver might be 4-3 after today because they seem so blah as a team. Although all 6 of their games have been decided by a touchdown or less.
Yeah, so
you look at their losses. Lost to the Seahawks in the opener 26-20. Lost to the Steelers 13-6. Lost to the Chargers last week 23-16.
Even if, I know it's Bo Nix and you're kind of betting on a rookie, but I think this would be a bad loss for Denver, considering all the injuries.
If Denver were to lose,
Even though they're only a 3-point favorite, so they're not an overwhelming favorite. And
Denver has, to me, they have some shocking wins. Like they won at Tampa and they beat the Jets.
Yeah, they beat the Jets.
Now they beat the Jets 10-9.
That was a terrible game.
It was a gross game, but they still got the win. I don't really believe in them yet.
But I'd take their head coach over the Saints head coach every time.
That's true.
Yeah, so do I play Cortland Sutton tonight as a third wideout? That's the question. He scored last week.
Right.
But it's not like he's going to get a ton of targets. I thought this was interesting. Yesterday on CBSSports.com, they had a trade deadline prediction for each team.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
What do they say about my boys?
All right. I'm just going to go down the list here.
Who they have for the comms?
You want me to start with the comms? All right.
That's what I care about.
I'll start with the comms.
Care about those other teams?
Yeah. I'm trying to kill a segment here.
Yeah. All right.
All right. It's not someone defensive. It's not a defensive end. It's not a linebacker. It's not a corner.
They have an offensive.
Oh, is it a skill position player?
It is.
Oh, receiver. Now you've got my attention.
It's who they're trading for. Not who they're trading away.
Yeah, it's someone that each contender should trade for.
They're theoretically acquiring this player.
Says the Commanders' secondary certainly could use a boost via trade to help make the pass defense a more formidable unit. They said they could also use a pass catcher to further build around rookie Jaden Daniels. And if the Cincinnati Bengals fall further below 500, what about T. Higgins? They're throwing out there.
It's an interesting name. Now? I think 28? He's like 20. I don't know if he's that old, 25 or 26.
Yeah, I don't think he's old.
He's relatively young, and he's a big target. He's a big red zone target.
Look, I wouldn't be averse to it, but again, I don't think the offense is this team's problem.
Yeah, well,
I just don't
one
think
guy.
It fixes the problem.
It's just one guy that they're predicting.
Yeah. I think that is an outsider's view. They're not tuned in like your boy. Like
of
us.
Yeah. It's not like they're
also, they had to come up with 32 teams worth of trade targets.
Why wouldn't he come up? I mean, the guy even said.
No, just the contenders.
Corner and everything. Well, why not say. I'm just frustrated.
I can tell you're frustrated.
So T. Higgins is playing under the franchise tag this year, so that's why his name comes up.
He's 25.
I think the Bengals are
going to
make the playoffs.
T. Higgins.
They only predicted the Bengals are going to be fine.
They only predicted 14 teams, so just the contenders to make the playoffs. So it wasn't all 32.
I'm so psyched that we're in the discussion.
If he were acquired, he has something none of the other receivers have. He's 6'4". I mean,
how big is Brown? 6'2"?
He might be like 6'2". Brown
looks 6'4" compared to everybody else.
He looks really big. Yeah.
You know.
Because Terry's probably 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah.
I know he's listed at 6', but I don't think he's 6 feet tall.
No.
Terry McLaurin leads the NFL right now in contested catches.
Mm.
That was something that he turned a weakness into a strength. I was listening to Quinn when I was driving in this morning, and he said something interesting yesterday. And the guy does motivate you a little bit, but, you know, he actually is not worried. Like, Scott Abraham asked him the question, are you, this is the NFL, you're playing the Panthers, they're 1-5. Anything can happen on any given. Is that something that you preach to the guys? That anything, I know they're 1-5, don't look at the record, anything can happen. Yeah. And he said, no, we only worry about ourselves. And I actually really like that. And then later he said, you know, we just try to execute, do everything we can do, the best we can do. And then later he said, could this football team right now beat ourselves 7 weeks ago? Mm. And the answer is yes. So we're heading in the right direction.
Good.
It's not a straight line up. It's ups and downs. But could this football team beat the week 1, week 2 team? Absolutely.
I wonder if NFL coaches look at opponents like fans do or like media.
Yes.
Where they go, It's the Panthers. We can't lose to the Panthers.
I know Brian Billick did because he went through the schedule on that Hard Knocks.
He did
it was the most hilarious thing.
Well,
I've
that was
ever
years
seen.
Ago.
We
yeah.
stole that from him. Apparently.
Could you ever find that? I would like that to be in the machine somewhere. That was the most comical thing I've ever seen. And I like Brian Billick.
Yeah,
I thought that was crazy.
But I'm wondering if behind closed doors, Quinn and Kingsbury and Witt and all the guys go, we can't effing lose to the Panthers. Let's just get out there, get a good lead. They're 1-5.
Yeah.
They can't stop anybody.
No, he's saying like they don't do that.
Well, I know that's what he's saying to the media, but I'm wondering if behind closed doors they really
say that to the other coaches. He might say it to the other coaches.
Yeah, he says to Joe Witt, like,
we better
beat these guys' asses.
Because I guarantee you they do. All coaching staffs look at the schedule and go, all right, if we're going to make the playoffs, this has got to be a win. That's got to be a win.
But not in front of the players.
No, I'm not saying in front of the players.
Okay,
no.
Amongst the coaches, probably. Yeah.
But I bet the players probably do it too.
Sure. Yeah, they probably know this is a weak portion of the schedule.
The
you know what I mean?
This is going to be a tougher portion of the schedule. This is when we're on the road
although
a lot.
I'll say this,
they look at it.
A guy like John Allen, who's fairly disassociated with a lot of the stuff, he says he often doesn't even know who his next opponent is.
No, he's a head down, focus on what he's doing type of guy.
Yeah. He's different.
Yeah. All right. Real quick before we get to break. The Lions are apparently reached out to the Jets about Hassan Reddick.
Got to replace Hutchinson.
We talked about this yesterday, about possible trade parts for Washington, and Reddick's name came up. Of course, Reddick has been sitting out, wants a new contract. his agency, his original agency, fired him. They dumped him because apparently he wants just a crazy contract. And then
Drew Rosenhaus
picked him up. Anyway, so apparently their GM reached out to the Jets to talk about Reddick and if something can be done, because yes, they do want to replace Hutchinson. So stay tuned there. Real quick, baseball last night, the Dodgers, their fourth shutout in the last five games. So they shut out the Mets in New York. Man, it looked cold up there. You watch any of the game, Cakes?
It's funny.
I knew that. It wasn't a serious question. But 8-0 final. Shohei did hit a bomb. Kopech gets the win. Severino the loss. So game four.
Did I see something? I don't know if it tonight. Includes last night's game. Did Shohei with runners on base or something? Is like hitting like 0-0-0 in the playoffs? Something
no,
crazy like
I
that?
I think he's hitting better with runners on base.
It's so with no one on
and
base.
And so they were thinking about switching him out of the leadoff
and
position.
And putting him down two or
so
three.
So that he would be up when guys are on base.
But when no
often.
One's on base, he's just not locked in. That's
I mean,
theory.
It's such a small sample it's size. I think small, the stat yeah. that I saw was that he was 6-for-8 with runners on base.
Well, then the opposite was true. I think with no one on base, I think he was hitting 0-0-0. Yeah.
Well, that might be true.
Before
but,
last night.
But, well, he did a 3-run home run, so two people on base.
Yeah,
there.
There's probably guys on base all the time. So it's probably that small of a sample size. Mm-hmm. But Shohei did hit a home run, so it's 8-0 win. And then tonight you've got two games, of course. You've got game four, Dodgers-Mets. That's at 8:08. Yamamoto against Quintana. And then Yankees-Guardians, that's game three. Yanks up 2-0. That's in Cleveland. And that'll be Schmidt against Boyd.
Coming up next, we'll talk college football with Bill Roth, voice of the Hokies. Virginia Tech takes on Boston College tonight at 6:30. You can listen to it right here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll be right back. A lot of guests upcoming on the show. Brian Baldinger joins us at 7:20 to talk NFL. Darryl Green, Washington cornerback legend, joins us in studio at 7:45.
Baldy put up a video on Instagram. I put it on ours as well, Sports Junkies Radio, yep. of the Cliff Kingsbury offense. He's impressed.
Very good. All right, we'll talk to him about that. But right now, we head to the BetQL guest hotline. We say good morning to Bill Roth, voice of the Hokies. Virginia Tech takes on Boston College in Blacksburg tonight. You can listen at 6:30 right here on The Fan. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Excited to have another Thursday night game at Lane Stadium. It's always wonderful to play these games. And this is the seventh time over the last, 30 years that Virginia Tech and BC are matching up on a Thursday night.
Yeah. I read they've played every single year except for 2004 in the last, 25 years. And last year, Tech went up there and pummeled them. But how are you feeling about this game? Because, well, last time we talked to you was before the Miami game, and that was a debacle ending. And then Tech goes out to Stanford, handles their business, and then, of course, they get a bye week. So how are you feeling about this matchup?
Well, I'm interested to see how they play after the open date. You know, they're certainly trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. They're 3-3, and that's not the record that anybody wanted. They've been favored in 5 of the 6 games, and they're favored again tonight, and they've got a really talented team. They just have to play better. The last two games, they've been really more physical on defense, both in Miami and at Stanford, and they've won the turnover battle. They forced 5 turnovers and only coughed it up once, and that they weren't doing that earlier in the year. They lost the turnover battle to Rutgers and to Vanderbilt. That if they hold on to the ball and are more efficient offensively, they're pretty good. They had 9 possessions at Stanford, and they scored on 5 of them. Stanford kind of milked the clock, and they were really good. And I suspect BC will be a similar challenge. They're probably a little bit better defensively than Stanford. Bill O'Brien's their coach. Mm-hmm. He's done a really nice job up there. And they've got a tricky little quarterback in Thomas Castellanos, so they're pretty good. But at home, I like Tech.
Last year, when they went to Boston College, Tech ran for 360 yards against Boston College. Now, of course, different year. Different players. Tootin, I'm sure he had a pretty good game. I think Drones had 140 last year. But when we talked to you a few weeks ago about the play calling, do you think the play calling has changed and gotten more aggressive, in your opinion, the last few weeks?
You know what I think they've done is they've taken some of the decision-making out of Drones, and they're doing more check-with-me type of thing with the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And they're You know, I think one of the things they wanted Kyren to do in this RPO is to make a lot of decisions, do all the reads. And that was new, and that was a bit different for him because now you're matching Wentz with a defensive coordinator. And I think the last couple of games, they've made it a little bit simpler for him. And he's been better. You know, he didn't throw the ball as much at Stanford, but he was 14 of 19 and had a big, long touchdown to Felton. So I think they're playing better. I mean, look, the jury is still out on this season because, candidly, I mean, they're going to have a bunch of guys drafted. This isn't a team where you're like, oh, my goodness, we've got to go out, recruit, and get some players. They've got a nice roster. I mean, they're not Georgia, but they've got some really nice players, and they've got more experience than anybody in the ACC, so they should be better. And I think that's what I'm really looking forward to see tonight. You know, the kids wanted to wear orange. They got them all orange jerseys and orange pants for this game tonight. It's the annual Orange Effect game. So, you know, Pry has done a good job, and they've bought into him. So I'm curious to see how they play. I think they've got chance to have a good season. It didn't start out well. Their midterm grade stinks, right? If they brought their report card home at the midterm, mom and dad aren't happy, but there are a lot of things trending in the right direction.
So, Bill, against Stanford almost 2 weeks ago, very run-heavy, 36 carries, just 19 pass attempts in that win. Do you see the same blueprint tonight? Can they do the same thing against BC?
Well, I think one of the things was they were up 21-0 on Stanford, and so they ran the ball a bunch. You know, you didn't have to throw it. So I think that probably skews that a little bit. Honestly, they probably could be a little bit more balanced, but it probably depends on how the game is going. But, you know, statistically, BC's defense is really good against the run. So not a whole lot of people have run it on them. The issue that Boston College has had is turning it over like at UVA last week.
Right.
I went back, you know, they did a really nice job. You know, they went down and ran all over Florida State, which at the time looked really impressive. Now, in hindsight, they probably should have won the game there. But they knocked Michigan State around. BC beat them, and Michigan State's they're not a great Big Ten team, but they're built physical. So this game reminds me, or at least this team, this reminds me of some of those old physical BC teams. It's very Bill O'Brien, you know. It's very old school, older feel to a team like BC's teams did in the 90s. Now, they don't have B.J. Raji, and they don't have Ron Brace, and they don't have Mark Herslick, and they don't have Matt Ryan. I mean, it's not that. But in terms of its mindset, it looks like old-school Boston College, and that makes for entertaining football.
So, Bill, the one thing that Tech has been able to do is get after the quarterback. They're pretty high up in FBS and sacks, and, of course, they got APR, and he's one of the best ends in the country. Caleb Woodson's been getting after the quarterback. So, and you mentioned Castellanos. Now, he's a dual threat. But he has been turning the ball over. Keep him in the pocket, and I like their chances. But also I read on the flip side that Boston College's top cornerback tore his ACL against Virginia a couple weeks ago.
He did, yeah.
So he's going to be out. So maybe Drones can take advantage of whoever their backup is.
Yeah, I think that's a great point for tonight. You know, I think not only do the Hokies lead the ACC in sacks, though, they're probably at the top of the league in whiffs. I mean, they've had a lot of chances to – get the QB. I mean, that cost them the game at Miami. Right. I mean, everybody remembers the end of the game, the call that got overturned. But, I mean, Cam Ward had to be heroic Spider-Man to get out of some things. And, you know, Castellanos, if you have a shot to get him in whiff, he can take off and run.
Right.
And I think you're exactly right. He's 5'10". You know, I think they list him at 5'11 and a half.
He's not that bad.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. Keep him in the pocket. Let him throw the ball out.
I mean, he looks like Kyler Murray back there.
Yeah. You know, last year up at D.C., Dorian Strong had two interceptions in the first quarter. In the first quarter, the game in Chestnut Hill, the game up there. And I think the Hokies got in his head a little bit. He had two turnovers early. And then they had to throw the ball because Tech had a big lead. And they're knocking him around a little bit. So they would like to do that tonight. You know, Pry's done well against BC. Again, it's a different Boston College team with Bill O'Brien. But at the same time, it's players that we are somewhat familiar with.
Yeah. So just kind of looking at the rest of the schedule, I'm just hoping for a bowl. You know, I mean, to start the year, I said, okay, maybe an outside shot at competing for an ACC championship, but that clearly they haven't played well enough to compete for that. But tonight, I think, is a must win. And then Georgia Tech, not going to be easy, especially if Haynes King is healthy. Going to Syracuse is always trouble. Clemson, a game that I'll be at as well. That's, I don't know how good Clemson is because they really haven't played anybody besides Georgia.
Yeah, but they've been scoring. Georgia, yeah. They've been scoring a lot.
They have been scoring
since that loss.
And Klubnik's been playing very well. Mm-hmm. Duke won't be easy. So I'm just kind of looking at this game going, all right, well, if we're going to compete for a bowl and have a really good season, a decent season, tonight's kind of a must win.
100%. And if they want to have the season they want to have, they're almost all must wins, including Clemson. I mean, they did buy into this. I'll tell you what Pry did. I thought that was really good. After that Miami game, he told the guys, you showed you could compete with Miami. You should have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you play like this, you can win out and get another shot at them.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, he turned what could have been a season-ending heartbreak in Miami into let's go out there and kick some tail. And it worked last week. So that's what I'm saying. I'm curious to see. I mean, he's right mathematically. I mean, if they win out, and they'll probably be favored in every game with the exception of Clemson, they'll play Miami again. And the kids really like that charge. So now that's a big picture thing. More concern tonight is, can you stay healthy? Because BC's physical, Georgia Tech's physical, mm-hmm. and the off week helped. I should mention this, that Lawson's going to play tonight, and Ollie Jennings is as healthy a receiver that he has been since the preseason. So this is as healthy as the Hokies have been since the preseason. So having an off day really helped in that regard, too.
What's the temperature going to be at kickoff?
Oh, my gosh, is it cold. We had the hottest game in Tech history at Stanford. Mm. They had heat advisories and warnings in the Bay Area. It was in the mid-90s. Officially, it was the hottest kickoff temperature of a game ever. And tonight, it's going to be in the 40s at kickoff and in the 30s in the second half.
So brutal.
And
windy. Coat, Jason.
You know what that means? That means I'm going to watch the first half in Lane, and I'm going back to the hotel bar for the second half. That's what I'm going to do.
He's soft, Bill. I don't know what to tell you.
Get some mittens.
Yeah, I got to bring my gloves. All right, Bill, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Yep, have a great weekend.
Have a great call. That's Bill Roth, voice of the Hokies. Virginia Tech takes on BC tonight at 6:30. You can listen to it right here on 106.7 The Fan. Don't forget, Brian Baldinger will join us coming up at 7:20. But when we come back, we will hit the skins as they prepare to take on the Carolina Panthers this weekend at Northwest State.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.